Hey, hello. Welcome to another episode of Geekly Revealed. That show that brings you geeky news on a weekly basis. That's geeky, that's weekly, that's geekly. And I'm full of food. It's me, your host, Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet. And once again, I am joined by my festive co-host. Would you like to tell the people who it is that you are?
Hey, y'all, it's me. It's Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, The Snow Queer on Tumblr, Hella Steph on Instagram. And I can't get Hive to work on my phone right now. Let me sign up on my phone. So, not there yet. But, you know, we're working on it. And we are down a bud today. But
yeah,
we will carry life, on.
It does what it does. Hive's a funny place. They're still working it out. You gotta sign on with a special character when you make your password. It doesn't say that in the prompt, but you need a special character. Fun tip from the Peanut Gallery.
I always put a special character in my password, but it won't let me progress past that.
Some of them aren't allowed. So it seems like you need a capital letter number and a special character, and not all the special characters work. That's what I saw in a thread, and that's interesting. But those are the growing pains when a billionaire makes everyone come to your platform en masse. So
yeah,
everyone develops on their own schedule. But that's how they're doing. Steph, how are things in your neck of the woods? How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Had a pretty quiet Thanksgiving week. Was a little annoyed by we had miserable weather on the first on Monday and Tuesday, which were the only days of the week that we ended up going out to picket. And then just gorgeous weather Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Hey, that's how it goes. That's the opposite of how it goes in school, is you have the good weather during school and then the trash weather when you want to go outside. Looks like you got hit with the opposite. Essentially the whatever would be less optimal is what you get.
Yep. Aside from union busting wind tunnels, that was a pretty decent week.
Yeah, that's good. I had a slow week as well. Thanksgiving with the in-law family, and then the day before I saw my parents. So it was pretty nice, very relaxed. Had some good food. Donated. My partner used some of the whiskeys that I have in a cake, which is very nice. The apple cinnamon whiskey I have, as well as the pumpkin whiskey. So ooh. Southern Tier, please give us money one day. But it was a very nice sort of one of those like whiskey soaked cakes, sort of like a glazed thing. Quite delicious. I think desserts are the most important part of Thanksgiving. They're kind of underrated. You know, Thanksgiving's origins not so great, but the actual event is pretty neat.
Yeah, pretty choice. We had a smoked turkey at my Thanksgiving, which was actually quite delicious.
That's pretty fun. Smoked turkey.
A lot juicier than with my old, you know, like Steve's smoker? Like, it's like a, that's an inside joke for just the two of us.
Yeah, we know a guy named Steve that has a good smoker.
But, it's like that, but my cousin just cooked cut the turkey open underneath, like, so it could just flatten out a little bit, and just cooked it in the smoker, and it was quite tasty.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah, it's, I think turkey is, kind of underrated by anybody who actually talks about food. You know, I know we all eat it every year, so it's kind of hard to say something's underrated that's mass consumed, but almost everyone talks about how much they hate it. They say it's dry and tasteless, and I'm like, my friend, that is most meat that you cook will be dry and tasteless unless you season it.
Yep.
And if it is already good, that means it was seasoned before you even bought it.
Yeah, literally.
That's why
like
a lot of stuff has flavor.
That's one of the, like, I meant it in, like, non-derogatory way, but, like, the smoked turkey tasted like lunch meat turkey, but, like, in a good way. Like,
yeah.
Lunch meat turkey tends to be juicier and more flavorful than regular turkey.
There's actually flavors in it.
Because they
I always have
flavors.
A pretty, exactly. You know, my family, the families that I eat with, you know, luckily, it's so nice having both a family and a chosen family that can cook. But people talk about how much they hate turkey. I love turkey, you know. Not day old turkey. Leftover turkey is cold and dry and lifeless, but, you know, it still tastes good. That said, if you were a political figure, it's possible that you made a very seasonless turkey. which feels like a double kind of hate crime. Forget who it was. Was it MGT? I think she had that turkey that had no seasoning on it.
Naked ass turkey that I saw a picture of. It could have been. I was blessedly away from ye old Elon Musk establishment this weekend, so.
Yeah, I did a lot of scrolling on Twitter because, well, it's still a fun place that somehow has not got the bothersomeness to me yet. I'm not going to look that gift horse in the mouth. I don't know why people haven't been bothering me, but I will take it for now. The other social media places are kind of lacking in a lot of ways, even if they have more features. Co-host is still kind of, it just kind of feels like discount Tumblr in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
With just there's no culture there yet, which can be better or worse. Apparently Mastodon is both complicated and not very black friendly, or people of color in general friendly. But it's just not friendly to use unless you're like a super hardcore tech person. Which I am not that kind of. I don't care to use my tech skill for that.
Yeah, just like the usernames and how long and complicated looking they are.
Yeah, they have it's like the username and like servers and instances and stuff, and these are things that I understand, but not things I want to deal with. Just trying to get to, like a social media thing.
Yeah.
And in that case, it's like I'm fine just using Discord servers because it's like I'm not going to be able to keep up with that stuff anyway. So let's either go with forums or go with Discord servers at that point. But yes. What else is there? There's also Hive Social, as we talked about, which I like that. It doesn't run great just yet, but hopefully once they get some time and money and effort put into it, it will clean back up. But I think it has a lot of features. People seem to be happy about that. And then there's there's something called Post, I think. But I saw some people talking about how they're like, hey, one of the hate speech groups is wealth. You know, people that have high wealth, they don't want you talking bad on, and that made people feel a little bit weird.
I was going to say, the only person I know who made a Post account is, also someone who works in, tech safety. Keeping kids, content management kind of tech safety. And I was like, this seems like LinkedIn for, InfoSec people. I just didn't like the vibe.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to see the different vibes of places. It's like, yeah, this is what if LinkedIn, Twitter? It's like, well, I don't want to be professional in this mode. Some people have been having the debate: why separate your sort of? I think the post was, why separate your thirst trapping and your professional and critical personas differently? Like, you know, someone should be able to tolerate the all of you.
Mm-hmm.
Which I agree for a personal point, but it's like there's people that I see the reviews of them like, hey, my homie, I don't care if you are sexually liberated, but I don't really want to see you naked. That's not why I'm following your content. You know, it's if there are people that are following you for that, I'm glad for them.
Yeah,
there's just some people that I don't particularly want to see them thirst posting.
Yeah,
and if I see it, I just scroll by. I don't get mad about it, but it's like that's not what I was here for. Oh no.
Yeah, and I think, it's tricky with Twitter because it is still and has been a place where, both of us have kind of had, we want to use this in some sort of professional manner to build something out, but also for goof-em-ups and occasionally being, a little bit horny on main.
Yeah, and I think that's the weird part, is that it's just... we don't really live in this place yet where if you're like, hey guys, butts are pretty neat, and then your boss sees that, like, hey, you can't be talking about how butts are neat on the internet. You're like, why? I didn't disgrace our company. I just said a regular thing. But then there are other people who are like saying horrible racist stuff, and it's like, hey, I don't know if we want that guy leading our communications department or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But here at Character Reveal Inc., we don't have that problem. We're not an Inc. I just said it as a joke.
Someone else filed the paperwork.
It wasn't me. But we do have a digital footprint, I guess you could say. That's not really a technical thing, but we do have it. But yeah, speaking of Tumblr, there was some stuff going on there recently you had on the news list.
Yeah, so Tumblr gonna Tumblr, and they have, like, you know, like, when at first you fail, try again. So several years ago now, in the Homestuck days, there was, like, a minor attempt to, like, kind of gaslight slash Mandela effect the Squidlies, which were, like, a cute, like, stuffy TV show, but also, like, the incarnation of the Eldritch Horror Terrors, and, like, being processed for the young mind. But, people were like, I think it would be, like, possible to say that this show actually existed, because there are so many other weird little, like, Hanna-Barbera, like, and knockoffs thereof, like, old weird animated TV shows, like Jabberjaw kind of level of, like, yeah, I might have watched that on Adult Swim once. Well, when the Homestucks tried it, it didn't work, because they weren't trying hard enough, among other things. However, recently, so, like, last year, I think it was when I saw it, but someone posted a picture of, like, a bootleg shoe that had a tag on it talking about Goncharov, the greatest Martin Scorsese movie of all time. And it had, like, a bunch of info on the tag of this tennis shoe about Goncharov. And so Tumblr has decided to make decide Goncharov is, it's real. It's real. It's out there. It's happening. It happened. And so people, like, are doing the kind of, like, people are always talking about how Goncharov's redemption in the third act is a great example of, like, realist cinema in the late, in the early 1970s. But I truly think that, like, trying to get, like, kind of film bro-y about it, in, like, a meme-y kind of way. But, yeah, so Goncharov is a movie that does not exist, that people are memeing into existence, but, like, never actually creating the thing, just talking about and, like, kind of creating this, like, pseudo-gatekeeping kind of, like... Like, she says she likes Goncharov, but she can't even meme, this, like, the person who wrote the score, like... kind of thing, just as, like, a little goof 'em up, and I think that's pretty neat.
Yeah, I saw, I keep seeing posts about it, and it's something that's very far from my wheelhouse of understanding, so maybe I also, maybe for the viewers, you know, what's the appeal in this not thing?
Widespread gaslighting? Well, I think it's just, it's, there's a little bit of April Fool's ishness about it. I think, like, it's fun to have an in-joke or, like, a game that you can talk about, like, in great detail, but, like, other people are, like, super confused. Like, just kind of like a, not entirely harmless, I would say, but, like, just like a, there's, it's like, I guess it's kind of pathological to say this, but, like, kind of like lie, like telling a white lie is, like, but, like, for fun, I guess. Like pretending that Goncharov, like, Goncharov isn't real, Goncharov can't hurt you, but, like, wouldn't it be fun to pretend that we all watched this extremely, kind of almost Truman Show-ish, like, we all watched this weird movie, and we're like, teasing all the film bros for not knowing what it is, but it doesn't actually even exist, so there's no reason that anyone should know what it is.
It is interesting to see, like, most of the people I see talking about this are adamantly, like, I don't want to say anti-film, that might be going a step further, but, like, anti-film bro, mm-hmm. or anyone who's, like, really into film, you know, kind of like people that would say that it's dumb to care about movies are the people I see like reblogging this stuff the most and talking about is like the people that would say it's ridiculous that you would know who like wrote the score of a Scorsese film back then or Tarantino film. Which is a strange thing to see from Tumblr.
Yeah.
That is very heavily into film or not film but like fandom culture. So it almost seems like of all the stuff we like, wouldn't it be weird if we liked movies this way? And it's like, it's not that weird. It would actually
just be the way that many people do in fact like movies.
Yeah, or even the way that the site engages in stuff.
I think also there's it's almost like the, I don't know, this is a stoner ass thing of me to propose, but like almost a, like, we have reached the logical endpoint of fan fiction in that we are creating fan fiction and a metafiction for, and I say we, like I have participated in any of this, but like, we're creating, we like fan creation is completely unfettered when the original thing is a fan creation. Like the way that like Ratatouille the musical took off on TikTok, I think, is another example.
I'll take your word for that. Never heard of that.
So there was like a bunch of people on TikTok like stitched together like a fake musical version of Ratatouille, and it became so popular that they did as like a benefit like a one night performance of the actual of Ratatouille the musical.
That's an interesting thing to do.
Yep.
So it's interesting because I don't know, this it does seem there's this level of I want to I don't know. I've participated or at least seen the ARG world or the unfiction world, as some people call it. And there's a level of like, well, we have to make this fake reality to make the puzzle feel like it has stakes, but it's really just, hey, what if we told this really immersive story that we want you to engage with it like it's real, but we super don't want anyone to think it's real because that would get bad, right? Like, like the Marble Hornets stuff or even the Cloverfield stuff. It's, you know, we have to pretend it's real while we're engaging with it, but don't, like, it. Please don't leave here acting like this is real and don't believe that it's real, like no one's in danger.
Mm-hmm.
So it is weird to, I guess it is kind of, it shows how much of Tumblr really does participate in the transformative side of fandom.
I was gonna say, yeah, like the urge to build out the world of something that doesn't exist is like a very like fandom specific, I feel like.
Yeah, and it almost has, it's not quite fully there, but it has that tinge of mean-spiritedness of, wow, wouldn't it be hilarious to engage with fandom from an archival standpoint? Like, wouldn't that be funny if we all cared about these things? And that's sort of the subtext
to
all this.
In the wrong way.
Yeah, it is basically saying, what if we engage with fandom the wrong way? You know, like those guys over there do. And it's not saying that explicitly, but without that joke, there's no joke. There's just a lie. And just a lie isn't really, that's just fiction at that point.
Yeah, and I think there, like, wasn't there, and this could be me making things up at this point, but, like, wasn't it actually the case about the Snyder Cut that there wasn't actually a Snyder Cut? Like, he had not made a director's cut of the movie. People just insisted that he had and had been, and then ultimately it, like, created this a real Snyder Cut? Like, or am I completely making that up?
So, I think what that is kind of just how filming works. And I think Dan Olsen, the foldable human guy, you know, there's, you know, different opinions on the guy. But when they announced the Snyder Cut was coming out, a lot of people went to a YouTube video he did to tell him he was wrong. And he's like, I'm still not wrong. Because the premise of the video is, like, there is no Snyder Cut. Like, you guys are saying to release it. It doesn't exist, or it doesn't exist insofar as the way you think it does. Like, there was probably his director's cut, but it was probably full of, like, animatics and unfinished CGI, you know, like...
Yeah.
Of, you know, Batman running through, like, Ben Affleck running through a screen with a Batsuit on, but the Snyder Cut as it was, if they just straight up released that, that wouldn't be a movie. It would be like, I don't know. It would be like George Lucas's first pass on Star Wars 3 before, like, the CGI came in. Like, that's not what you're going to release.
Yeah, yeah.
So in that sense, it's like, yeah, there's a Snyder Cut, but it's not what you guys think it is. It's not like here was a finished movie and then WB said, okay, cool, we're going to change it. Like, they wouldn't spend the money on that. And the only reason they spent the money on the Snyder Cut was because they saw there was a product they could sell there, so they created one. Mm-hmm. So I think, whereas Goncharov is a practice in fake gaslighting, which is just as an inside joke, I think the Snyder Cut people gaslit themselves into believing that it was real.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, it must be real. Like, it has to be there. It's like, no, the WB wouldn't spend money on an edit for something and then not release it unless there was a detrimental reason to do that. So, yeah, I think they just tricked themselves into believing it was real. And then they went and made it. And, like, it was always there. No, it wasn't always there. If it was there, they would have released it, I promise you. So that's kind of that. It reminds me sort of when that Harry Styles album came out, a lot of people that are in the ARG space were trying to figure out what it was, and because it just really did come out of nowhere and started being in everyone's like promoted tweets.
His album was at ARG?
No, not really. Like a little bit.
Okay.
I forget. What was that? It was like an island.
I feel like Eroda. My Harry Styles knowledge and my ARG knowledge, like the two sides of that knowledge base in my life, do not touch.
Yeah, so I saw some ARG guys talking about it, and so there was a lot of stuff that was coming out about this, and Harry Styles did not tell his fans that he was doing this at first,
uh-huh.
But like eagle-eyed fans could say, guys, I think this is a Harry Styles thing based on XYZ. And some people are like, oh, that could be a nice, interesting wrinkle to this. And some people that are like shitty are like, that, there's no way. And a lot of people are like, no, I think there might be some merit to this, or at least it's a crazy coincidence. And it turned out he was just like doing his album rollout, but it wasn't like no one knew he was attached to it right uh-huh. out of the gate. It was just like this fake island that was calling for tourism. And everyone's like, this is way too highly produced to just be like some dude. But it could be like the next alternate reality game, and it was just a little bit of an album rollout, essentially.
Amazing.
Which is pretty cool. People got a good album out of it, apparently. I don't know. I didn't hear anyone talking about how it was a bad album. So there's that. That's a good form of advertising. Not everyone advertises so well. That Disney movie, Strange World, came out this weekend, I suppose.
Yeah, and
which was news to a lot of us.
Literally, the first I heard of it was someone making, like, a joke tweet about the fact that there's yet another first gay character, like, another Disney's first gay character in this, except this time he's played by Jabuki.
Yeah, which is very funny. I didn't know, so I'm just looking at the cast list on Google. They have Jake Gyllenhaal, Jabuki, Dennis Quaid, Gabrielle Union, Lucy Liu, Alan Tudyk. I mean, there's probably an animal sidekick in there if Alan Tudyk's here.
yeah. But like, that's a non... nothing to sneeze at.
That's a lot
at.
Of people.
Yeah.
That's a real-ass cast. Yeah, they're all actually in this movie. It wasn't just a goofy little...
This wasn't a Tumblr prank?
That too. Actually, Alan Tudyk plays a pilot.
A person? So,
yeah.
Well, I guess Alan Tudyk only plays animal sidekicks in movies that are mainly POC.
Yeah, but isn't this POC? Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah, actually.
But he's not part of the family. So it's, apparently this role is a reference to his Firefly character. Apparently. I don't know, maybe that guy was a pilot. Yeah, I guess that's it. And also the narrator and an announcer. So, you know, typical Alan Tudyk stuff.
But yeah. Disney did absolutely nothing to promote this movie. Not that, like, I am a big watcher of commercials, but, like, hard to not get, like, some, like, ads on Instagram or ads on, like, I don't know, like, fucking the subway, like, they had, when that fucking Zendaya is Michi movie that I can't even remember the name of came out, like, there were, like, huge posters for it.
I mean, Zendaya is Michi is still a thing at this point, so obviously was at least a halfway successful marketing campaign that we remember part of it, even if we don't remember what it was for.
Yeah, I truly don't. I remember nothing of it. Actually, I think this is a movie that Katia and I, my roommate and I, went to see at, because she got free tickets to it. And we were both so tired and miserable that we actually walked out within the, like, we actually just got up and left. We were like, this is bad and weird, and we're leaving.
Hey, I mean, no need to stay. Yeah, it's, obviously lots of people are trying to pull the get woke, go broke thing.
Yeah.
But I think it's more like, do nothing, get nothing.
Yeah. It's, you put in what you get out, like, or you get out what you put in. Say,
yeah, you can't say get woke, go broke every time a movie gets released and just wait for the one time that one of the movies actually doesn't make a ton of money. But yeah, I didn't see any advertising for it. But someone else brought up a point. It wasn't like a big point, but a lot of people, they said, I'm sure a lot of people just saw the ad for this and said, yeah, I'll catch it when it comes to Disney Plus, because that's what a lot of people don't want to go to theaters right now. It's Thanksgiving. Also, it's the weekend of Thanksgiving. I don't know if people were around, if they wanted to go to a movie theater right around the beginning of flu season. I wasn't thinking about going to go see movies.
Like, Frozen 2 came out of our Thanksgiving holiday, but, like, it was Frozen 2. Like, people...
Sequels are different. That's a little...
Like, well, sequels are different, but also, like, I mean, it was Frozen. Like, it was a juggernaut property that, like, was gonna bring people in either way.
Yeah. You could release Frozen... You could have released Frozen 2 any day of the week. It would have been, like, made a bunch of money. But that's not, that's not everything. So I don't know what they were doing with this one. Some people think that the Disney execs just did want to bury it, like it's a queer POC movie.
Uh-huh.
And for all the ads, all the jokes of, it, they keep saying it's the first gay, like openly gay, like character in a Disney movie. I think having a queer lead, and they're at this... They said it's the first one, like, 10 times,
uh-huh.
But this is the first time it's actually been a real character, and not just two not ladies just... kissing behind Buzz Lightyear that you can crop out.
You mean not just two ladies also kissing behind Finn and Poe, and also LeFou thirsting after Gaston, and also...
Yeah, like, someone who's actually like, hey, I'm a named character that you'll probably know the name of. Without having to Wikipedia it.
Also, the Lena Waithe cop.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was in Onward. That's like a little side character that... Oh, yeah, I remember I don't remember what species that character was, but she I remember was like her saying... my
cop?
Yeah, like, my girlfriend or wife. I'm like, oh, that's cool, she's gay, but, like, I don't know that character's name.
Also, she's
in that
a
character's
cop.
Defense, I don't know the main character's name from that movie either. It was just Tom Holland and Chris Pratt. I don't know any of those characters.
No one knows. Don't worry about it. There isn't a single including Tom Holland and Chris Pratt, there isn't a single person on the planet who has distinct memories of the movie Onward.
I mean, I have memories of that movie. There's ideas that I liked in it.
Distinct.
I liked some of the imagery. Distinct? No, I remember they thought the gelatinous cube came out.
Yeah, you remember the vibes.
Yeah, I remember the vibes, and I remember them running away from the cops at one point in his beat-up van. I remember more about that than I feel like most people do about the movie Avatar, is what I'm getting at. I mean, I know Jake Sully's name from Avatar, but that might just be because I've watched stuff about Avatar.
Possibly. But
I don't know. I know they walked the dudes and their dad's legs around. That was kind of a cute sight gag the first couple of times. But I guess the problem with Onward is just they built this giant world that is actually more interesting than the characters were.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're going to tell, like, a regular story about just two brothers that just want to go on a road trip to find an artifact for their dad. It's like, well, that's but not really a magical story. Good.
Oh yeah, but like setting like a regular road trip, like brothers bonding, like wild America ass, like
yeah,
thing, and setting it in like a but like a casually suburban D&D kind of setting.
Yeah, with just enough things that are saying, I wonder what's actually going on in this world. Like, there was the biker gang of fairies. I'm like, that's a cool idea. So why are we following around the elves, which are basically just the humans of this world?
Yeah.
It's kind of like in the MCU. I kind of do want to see, now that we've seen the extravagant things, what's life like for the average New Yorker in the Marvel world that's not also a contractor who gets screwed over? Like, what's the life like of someone who's not specifically getting screwed over by Tony Stark, just like the general capitalist screwing over, like somebody who would say,
just like,
I don't really fuck with Tony Stark, but he hasn't done anything to me, he just makes my life worse in general.
It's been a minute. Like, I mean, whatchamacallit, Black Panther 2 is set like 6 years or something after, like, 4, 5 or 6 years after the snap, so there are the number of people who could be wronged by Tony Stark are, like, getting lower every day.
Well, yes, that's true.
If he is not alive to wrong them.
Well, I mean, like wasn't it, like, Mysterio? Like, both of Spider-Man's villains in the first two movies were like, oh, I'm mad at Tony Stark.
Yeah, they were both people who were mad at Iron Man.
Yeah, not like the person who, oh, man, Tony Stark threw a car through my building to fight the aliens. That sucks, but it's not like, I don't feel personally slighted by Iron Man. Like the lady that get mad at him at the beginning of Civil War, she's like, who do the Avengers think they are? And he's like, I'm gonna feel guilty. It's like, yeah, but out of all the things that you've done in these movies, that's probably like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't have made a killer robot, but
yeah, right.
But the thing that she's mad at you about isn't really like a you specific thing. I don't know. It goes to that whole thing of, why do people want art house movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? It's like, because there's a billion Marvel movies. I just want to know what a random person's life is like. Like, I was watching a review from Cosmonaut Variety Hour. He was talking about Batman versus Superman. And some guy, like, during, like, once they show the fight that Superman did at the end of his movie from Gotham's perspective, some guy's leaving Wayne Industries, like, really late after the fight starts. And Bruce Wayne's like, hey, tell everyone to leave. And Marcus, the reviewer's like, if I'm working an unpaid internship for Wayne Enterprises, I'm not fucking waiting for permission to leave during an alien attack.
Batman, like.
Yeah, and it's like, that's a good point. Like, what is that person's life like? Yeah, I know the Joker killed Batman's little buddy. We have aliens, but I mean, the views are amazing. I want to know that guy's perspective. What's his life like, you know? It's a cheesy take, but I'm curious.
But Wayne Industries is really putting money back into the community. Like,
I want to hear what the leftist and like right wing and like fascist views are like in these superhero movies. And I guess like Alex Jones, J. Jonah Jameson kind of gets into that in the new Spider-Man. I haven't seen it, but I want to know what people are like. Is like, ah, man, I'm tired of rich people. What's that look like when the rich person is like, he did kill himself to save, like,
the universe.
Tony Stark saving the planet from Thanos was not, that was not a result of his own hubris or screw up at any given point. That was just, an alien came down and said, I have these gems, I'm taking them. And he's like, no, don't do that. I'll give him that one, you know, it's an interesting thing to think about, I think. Any other thoughts on Strange World? I mean, we're just kind of, I didn't see it, obviously.
Yeah, I forgot. But that's what we were, how we got onto this topic.
Disney has too much shit coming out.
Yeah, because Disney, like, it's just like, breathe, guys. Like, everything, like, you have infinite money. You're going to continue to have infinite money. Like, let your products actually, give them a chance to succeed or fail on their own merits. Like,
yeah. I don't like feeling like I have to do homework just to see. Like, I don't feel like I have to see. Well, I won't have to see movies to see other movies. That's why I didn't see the new Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's annoying when it's like, I need to, like, to keep up with this franchise, I, at this point, need to have watched, like, at least 12 hours of movie. Like, on the low end.
Yeah, it's just too much stuff. Yeah. Moving right along, let's stay in the streaming world. I finished Inside Job, Part 2. Season 2, however Netflix is doing some of this stuff. I really liked it. Adam Scott was in it, which is kind of funny.
I need to watch that. I think I would like it.
I think you would. It's a pretty good show. It's pretty breezy. There's some criticisms that I think fit of it. You know, sometimes they get a little reference heavy in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But it there's the dilemma of people talk in the real world way, quote unquote, cringier than we like to believe.
Oh yeah, literally today in a chat I said, like it. I spent 20 minutes trying to find in not 20 minutes, but like in the like Apple GIF search trying to find a GIF of King Neptune from SpongeBob spitting out the Krabby Patty so he could eat it again.
That did happen.
And like, I was like, finally, I just like typed that into the text, like into the chat. But like, who fucking no? Like, it's one of the like, dialogue in scripted things needs to be, it needs to sound natural without actually sounding at all like how people talk to each other in real life.
Which is a really tough thing to do. Like, it was the reason I defended that, the shitty Olive Garden jokes in Sonic movie.
Uh-huh.
Because people are like, oh, this is so stunted. I'm like, is it though? Like, you bring up Olive Garden around some people from a certain generation, I swear they're gonna start talking like that.
They're gonna say, which is not
necessarily good, but
That we're family.
It, we're gonna say it, because that's what you are when you're there. And I mean, I think about, like, the Borat joke of my wife, like, that was such a thing that people referenced for so long that it became a joke of people referencing it, you know? Yeah. Like, I'm like, guys, I think people are corny in real life, actually.
Sounds fake.
Except it. That said, there are a few times in the show where it takes you a little bit out of it. Like, you could tell it's people that are trying to be funny. But sometimes mm-hmm. that's the joke, is the characters are trying to be funny. But overall, I really liked it. I like when a show with a high concept kind of finishes their first season so they can do more character work on the second season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think most shows really do that, especially adult animation. Once you get the premise laid out, you can start talking about characters in a way that's more meaningful.
Yeah, definitely. Especially, like, speculative adult animation, like, because I think Rick and Morty is similar.
Yeah. I think it's a great companion piece next to Rick and Morty of how to do adult humor. And, like, what's a... just seeing, like, a different level of crass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the show's made by Shion Takeuchi. I don't know if I'm pronouncing your name right. A lot of the problem was that people thought Alex Hirsch made it just because he's the executive producer.
Uh-huh.
It's like, no, he didn't make it. He's just... I don't know, like, maybe the guy who
Tim
gave
Burton
him some
did
cred.
Not make whatchamacall. Much like Tim Burton did not make
Wendell
Nightmare
Wild,
Before Christmas.
Nightmare Before Christmas, yeah. So I mean, executive producer is important in the sense of Hollywood only gives movies to cishet white dudes. So sometimes they're like, hey, you should give this a show to my buddy over here. She's great. It's not the way it should be, but I appreciate the dudes who use their privilege for good. That said, the show's still really good. Love the dynamic between all the characters. I like the cool sci-fi premises. The deep states are real, but they're really just crappy offices.
It's
second
just a bureaucratic nightmare.
Yeah, I think the shadow organizations are the main one we follow is Cognito Inc. There's also the Illuminati, the reptilian people, the Atlanteans, and the Juggalos, who are just the Juggalos, but they are
just
one of the
Juggalos.
Five shadow organizations.
What? There's another, like, there's got to be a Homestuck somewhere on that production team. I don't think there is a single animated project in progress where that doesn't have, like, at least one Homestuck on that team at this point.
I mean, I would have to imagine, like, it's one of those things that is probably one of the most influential things of modern fiction, whether or not that's direct.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that as I'm just kind of, I have Twitter on my other screen, and it has someone talking about Pokemon Scarlet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, someone figured out how to mod it to actually run at 60 frames per second. I'll get back to that in a second. But Toby Fox composed and helped do a lot of the music in Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. I mean, arguably one of the most loved meme video game songs is Megalovania, which did not debut in Homestuck, but I would argue that he would not have the reach he would without Homestuck.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is, given that, just from that fact alone, the last two Pokemon games, well, not Arceus necessarily, not Arceus necessarily, but at least Sword and Shield and Violet and Scarlet, have music from Toby Fox, as does Smash Bros.
I was gonna say, Smash does too.
Yeah, and those are giant games. So, like, Homestuck has at least, if you take nothing else from Homestuck but Toby Fox's popularity, it's still one of the most influential works of all time before you get into the other 100 reasons that's true. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there were Homestucks on this staff. It has a similar sense of humor.
I was gonna say, there was a point at which, like, I was reading a bunch of different, like, novellas that were Tor.com books, and, like, every one of them, I got to the, like, author's bio in the back flap, and it was like, prior to this, so-and-so worked at What Pumpkin Studios, or, like, just, like, something that was like, or, like, was a writer for Hive Swap, or something, and I'm just like, I see you. You can't hide from me. There's gray paint and candy corn horns in your past, just like there is in mine. much like my personal parasocial relationship with Elizabeth Warren as a former Republican.
I see how things were in the past, and I see why you are the way you are today. Exactly. I wonder how many other people there are that have cosplayed at least adjacent to Homestuck that haven't actively read the source material or participated in the fandom by a lot. Like, I think I read the first act of Homestuck, and I've also cosplayed a character that was not in the section that I read, to my knowledge.
Yeah, Dave doesn't get it. I mean, Dave is talking to John, I think, in the first act, but you don't actually see him, I think, till act two.
Yeah. But I was like, hey, this is a cool little simple costume to do, and I would do it again. And I wonder how many other people are like that. There's got to be at least two.
Got to be.
I don't want to overstate it. But yeah, I recommend it. I think you'd like it. There are like 22, 24-minute episodes. At least the first one. There's good laughs. Yeah. This will make fun of Reddit, which is cool. Nice.
Yeah, I need something to do with my free time when my roommate's not home, because I'm going to destroy my Joy-Cons trying to play through Katamari Damacy again. I can't
play a new game. Don't do it to yourself.
I know. I crave comfort and simplicity in times of stress, and like at least it's not Spyro 2 Ripto's Rage for the like seventh time.
Nah, that's fair. That's why I like Slay the Spire a lot. We were going through the PlayStation sale. My partner likes to look through it during every like sale. Mm-hmm. I saw Slay the Spire there, and I'm like, this game was $30?
Yeah.
I don't remember paying that much. I think I didn't, because I think I got it in a Humble Bundle. But maybe I didn't. I can't remember. Doesn't matter. I've got my money's worth out of that game four times over. And I think most people who are into it, who have like played through it a few times, like, oh yeah, put 100 hours in that game, easy. It's just a comfortable, easy game. You can get real sweaty and stressed about it, but there's never a point where, oh no, my hands can't do the thing I need them to. It's a card game. You'll take all the time you need. There's no stress from that end.
From that particular part.
Yeah, now, will you get stressful like trying to figure out where your cards are? Yeah, that can happen, but you know, there will be no twitch reflexes. Speaking of that, I joined the Kickstarter for the Slay the Spire board game.
Nice.
They're making a physical version of it, so I'm looking forward to trying that when that releases. They've been talking about it for a while, and should be dope.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, I got for the in terms of Kickstarter things, I finally got a Kickstarter-backed item that I am pretty sure that I purchased in like 2020. like, it was just absolutely plagued by every possible like production issue and shipping delay. A set. So the actual product was were like lenticular, like holographic spell cards for D&D. But they were also doing like a fully original tarot deck of holographic cards. By holographic, like I'm doing like a flappy motion with my hand, which no one can see, but like just the kind, not like foil, like the kind that are like a heavier plastic, like scored plastic that has like, it looks just like the wind is blowing through the trees or something, like when you tilt it. They're extremely pretty in person. There was an ordeal to the very last for them to come because, like, and I FedEx apparently closed their the closest like FedEx drop off point closed to my house, so I had to go a mile. I had to wait like 5 days till I had time to go a mile down the road from my house, which is not far if you're in a driving place, but pretty far if you're in a walking or transit place.
Yeah, that's rough.
And then the lady yelled at me for not coming to get it sooner, because after when she finally found it, it was in the, like, we're sending this back because no one came for it pile. It's like, I just...
Glad you got that.
But, God, I would have been so mad. Because, like, and I feel a little bit bad for the team that made it, because they obviously were fielding complaints the entire time that these were delayed, every time they were delayed.
Of course.
And there was one point where, like, the company launched, like, a new Kickstarter, and, like, an intern who was unaware of the, like, absolute chaos that was still ensuing with the holographic cards, like, sent out, like, a, like, back our new thing, like, email to, like, the whole list.
Yeah, it would not look good.
And, like, they had to send out another email the next day that was, like, we're so sorry, we weren't trying to rub it in your faces, that we know that your previous awards from the previous campaign have not arrived yet. We are working hard to expedite this, and we apologize that this was sent out by someone who didn't have the full context of the holographic card situation.
Yeah, it's... People get salty sometimes when you mess with their money. Yeah. We never got our money back for FanCon.
Sure did. but they're very pretty, and it's interesting, all of the suits are different, like, POC inspired settings.
So how many cards came with this? Like a full deck?
Yeah, it's a full deck. Oh, I can't even remember where I sat it down. It's huge because they're pretty thick.
Right.
But yeah, so it's the whole deck. Oh, it's right here in this fancy box that it came in. Came in a beautiful look at this, in beautiful embossed, like, foil.
That is a nice box.
Soft touch matte shiny box with a magician card on the front. But and it came with a little book for it and some little mats to, like, actually do readings on. But
very nice, very nice.
But yeah, so this is...
That is cool.
The whole deck is about the size of two decks of, like, regular tarot cards, I would say.
It was about, like, 4 inches tall?
Yeah.
3 or 4 inches tall? Yeah. That is cool. That's a nice deck of cards. I always wanted to get, like, some of these tarot decks, but I know I don't read tarot. Like, I've seen someone did Arcane, like, the show. Someone did a Smash Bros. One. And I'm like, at least where I was at that point, I'm like, I can't justify this purchase because I don't read tarot like that,
uh-huh.
And I don't have the money to just say, it'll be fine, so. props to you for getting those, that's nice.
Finally got them, so that's pretty. I'm gonna have to maybe do, like, get my money's worth out of them by doing, like, a daily pull or something for a while.
Yeah, do some readings. Have some fun with it. I saw people upset about, like, limited run games. They did some, not really Kickstarters, but just, like, pre-order things, and the Scott Pilgrim game came out, and the soundtrack, like, the deluxe version took, like, till, like, a month ago mm-hmm. from when they first sold that, and you remember when I got that way back when.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, it wasn't, like, Onomatoguchi's fault. I don't even think it was Ubisoft's fault or Limited Run Games or anybody. It was just the people making the record took a super long time to do it. And people are like, yo, I'm never ordering anything from you again. This took, like, 2 years for me to get. And they're like, look, if you would have ordered something before and after that, you would have gotten both of them in the time it took for this deluxe edition to come out because of this one thing that was in it. Which is just sort of like a freak accident, but people don't love that. Yeah. But I haven't heard anything about them being bad with orders other than just this one, so every now and then you get a little bee in your bonnet, you know?
Yeah.
It's too bad. Last little thing.
Safely, since he's not here, like, we ordered a gift for Eric in January 2020, a pre-order item that still has not arrived. So, she's wild out there.
Yeah, if you know him, don't tell him. And if he listens to this, he still doesn't know what it is, so it's fine. it's coming though. It's coming.
It will.
It'll be here.
It'll be here eventually, before the end, the heat death of the universe.
Probably. I hope. If not, I'm gonna have to ask for my
there's a non-refundable deposit for the pre-order, but I feel like I would ask for the refund of my non-refundable deposit if we actually did get to the heat death of the universe before this item ships.
It's like, hey, bro, man, this is about to end, man. Can you just hook us up? What's it gonna matter, man? Just give me my money back. Yeah, you know, that's how it goes, though. That's how it goes. Last thing that I want to bring up is our Overwatch update. Season 2. Coming soon, I want to say next week, on the 6th maybe, or the end of this week, on the 2nd, I can't remember the date, but we're getting a new hero. He is a tank named Ramattra. This weekend they showed us...
He's like another Omnic? Like a sentient Omnic?
Yeah, so I'm not really sure what the qualification is for Omnics. Apparently you can't make more. Those would just be robots or droids or whatever. So artificial intelligence exists. I think Omnics specifically use Omnium, which is probably just like vibranium, but is alive, I guess. I don't actually know. But there has to be some difference between
sentient metal.
Yeah, there must be a difference between Orisa, Bastion, and Zenyatta, and now Ramattra, and also like the training robots that we have no issue just killing over and over, who come back to life and could talk. I don't really know how this works, but yeah, he's coming out. They showed us like a lore video the other day and like the gameplay video, so we know what all his abilities are. No definitive numbers and no theory testing yet, but he seems to be powerful, which is the way that people make video games. You know, if the new stuff has to be interesting enough that you won't just keep using the old stuff, which does sometimes lead to power or feature creep. I think that could get a little bit tricky. So power creep is basically Cold War type shit. I think in video games, if you make something, you need to make something, the next new thing will be stronger, which heightens the general power level.
Yeah, it's like an arms race, kind of.
Yeah, like if everybody's fighting with sticks, that's the general power level. But if someone starts inventing sharpened sticks, now... that kind of renders the previous thing useless, or you need to make the previous thing much better. So, yes, a dagger will be better than a little stick, but a really, really long stick is probably going to be better than a dagger. Yeah. But it's still just a stick. And then, obviously, a gun's going to be really good, so how do you do that? And the same thing happens in video games. If you have Lucio who can heal... If you have Mercy, you can heal somebody at, like, let's say 30 healing per second, and you just have another person who can just straight up heal 40... healing per second, you either need to make that harder or change Mercy. And now you have the point where the general level of healing is so high, now you have to make the damage higher and start to become like, hey guys, what are we really doing here?
What's actually happening here, guys?
Yeah, feature creep I consider a little bit different. You add somebody that has a new whole thing, like, hey, this guy can slow you down. Is that stronger than anything we've had before? I mean, he's the only one who can do it, but he can't do something else, so I think that gets a little bit tricky, too. You see it in Pokemon, any kind of game that has new content that comes out over time.
Yeah.
Whether it be yearly releases or in a game. This is also coupled with the fact that this hero will be either you pay the $10 for Battle Pass to get him instantly or grind to level 55, which I'm on like level 135 while also missing 2 weeks of playing the game.
I was going to say, like, what's the over-under on how long that takes?
Yeah, so if you buy the Battle Pass, you also get like a 20% boost, but I guess you don't need that. So if I'm at level like 130 right now, I guess I would be still over level 100 now, so I would have had him a few weeks ago, maybe. So, it sucks, but it's also, this is only one roll at a time, so it doesn't affect everybody necessarily the same way. So people think, you're just going to make all the new heroes overpowered, so people buy it. I'm like, they were doing that before there was a profit motive, guys. This might just be the problem with creating evolving games. But he looks cool. He's kind of like an evil Zenyatta in a few ways. His ultimate's the opposite. Like, Zenyatta does Transcendence, which heals all his allies that are around him, like, really heavily.
So it's hard to kill them. Very effectively heal.
Yeah, they're effectively, like, invincible except to, like, bursting. Like, so if you snipe somebody in the head, they'll die. But if you try to, like, kill them with a machine gun, he's gonna heal through it kind of situation.
Yeah.
More or less. Like, a fast, powerful shock machine gun? No. But this Ramattra, his is basically, like, called Annihilation. It's like a death thing, so it just does damage to people around him, and it just goes on forever as long as it's tethered to somebody. So it's on a countdown, so if he just does it in the middle of nowhere, it'll run out, but if someone's near him, he's going to keep doing it till you die, which I think is a interesting mechanic. They're like, yeah, either run away or kill him, that's your options.
Those
like,
are the two that's options. Neat.
Will this be overpowered? Time will tell. There's a way to balance around that, so looking forward to trying this new guy. We're going to get a new map, and they should be letting us know a little bit more about their roadmap. So, again, still not a lovely company, but I know the Team 4, the Overwatch team, does do things to try to do better. I would blame the monetization on Activision Blizzard King rather than necessarily the Overwatch devs, but
you're telling me that Activision Blizzard King would participate in unsavory labor practices?
I haven't heard about what the labor practices are on this team, but yes, I would tell you that. Yeah, it's kind of like an evil corporation that has their one division that's not doing evil. It's like, well, you still have to be there, but I can't be mad at the guy who drew this really cool skin is like, I just want to work for Blizzard one day. And they got there like, oh, this is a rough place to work, but people like my art. What do I do? So, life's hard, I guess.
Life is hard.
Yeah, but that's all I got this week. Might try to play some Steam Cell games. There's a few more days in the Steam Cell. It'll be over by the time you hear this. But the Winter Cell is coming, so be on the lookout if you want to do a capitalism or play some games for cheap.
Do a capitalism.
Yeah, or half-ass a capitalism. That's the reason we buy stuff on sale.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I have little to look forward to this week except for invasive medical procedures and more picketing. So,
you know what? That's the American dream. You know, I think I'm jealous of you.
Say invasive medical procedures that I get to pay for out of pocket.
That is dope. That's not because of the strike either, is it?
Oh no, no. It's just diagnostic care is not covered.
That's neat. Love that.
Yeah, it's like, so how else are you gonna find out if, like, so you went from, like, a pre-existing condition is, like, the sin, and, like, you must go to hell, do not pass go, and now it's like, you won't let me find any pre-existing conditions.
We live in a great place. It's,
all of the tweets about the World Cup are, like, so hard to banter with, like, people from other countries, because they're just like, oh, I mate, go pay your deductible.
It's like, bro, like, get better jokes. Like, also, if we're talking shit about sports, like, what? Who are you to bring up how bad my country is? I'm not talking about who has a better country. I'm talking about who has a better World Cup team, and we know it's not us. So, like, why kick us while we're down?
Also, like, if you're participating in the World Cup, you are participating to some extent in the, like, extreme exploitation of migrant workers that happened to build that stadium. So,
in any World Cup, not even just this one, that's just part of the problem. I did, it is funny that the whole world was laughing at, Britain. They're like, hey, yo, imagine tying a team that doesn't believe in healthcare. That's hilarious.
Yep.
And it's kind of funny when your country's flaws make someone else look bad. That said, I did see somebody, saying, hey, man, this country doesn't love me and I don't root for this country, but when it comes to the Olympics and World Cup, USA, USA, and like, I don't know, man, I just can't root for the USA. Like, guys, I understand what you're coming from, but it's against England. Like, the other big bad guy. Like, if there's a time where you could say, hey, maybe the U.S. isn't so bad, I think conquer the whole entire world and expose their values to everybody might be kind of the worst bad guy in some form or fashion.
I was gonna say, the only reason America is here to be a pain in the ass is because Britain decided to fucking start it.
Really and truly. So in a way, this is still England's problem.
All of our suffering, including the deductibles, is England's problem, so...
Yeah, I don't speak in this language because of what the native culture was doing. I'm black. I wasn't born over here. This is still England's fault.
Simply the fact that we are inflicting this podcast on folks on a weekly basis, that the two of us could end up living together in the same country.
Blame the Brits. It was funny, though, talking to some coworkers from Canada. They were like, yo, man, we were downtown in Pittsburgh. And I was like, so, yeah, there's like over in the city. And you could see, like, the two insurance companies, like Highmark and UPMC.
On the buildings.
Yeah, and they're like, I just don't understand how the insurance companies could, like, be for profit. Like, so the insurance companies own the hospitals? I'm like, well, no, technically the insurance company works with another company that owns the hospital. Like, how's that legal? I'm like, that's a good-ass question, man. Let's go, America.
Like, your guess is as good as mine, man.
Yeah, when you work downtown, you see those every day, as well as, like, PNC and Heinz Field, but, you know.
But, like, being sponsored by banks and food brands is a little less. That feels a little more all-American.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't referring to PNC Park, most beautiful baseball stadium in the country. I was referring to the actual PNC.
One
of their headquarters buildings. The actual bank. Yeah.
It is the most beautiful baseball stadium in the world. I would co-sign that.
Yeah, and if it's not, it's the biggest differential between skill and quality of park, because the Pirates are not good.
No, but the stadium is lovely to go to.
Yeah, and I guess it's not Heinz Field anymore. Too bad. So sad.
Yeah, it's whatever the fuck.
Either way. Acrisure.
The
insurance, another insurance company. Whatever the hell. That's a podcast. We did it. I don't have much stuff. You want to hit the people with the somewhat new social media biz?
Yeah, so if you want to find us on the internet, you can do that. We are all over the place, including still on Twitter, which, since Eric isn't here, we will say that we are going to continue to enjoy until it is dead. Let's see. We are Character Rev on Twitter. We are Character Reveal on Facebook and Instagram. We are characterreveal.simplecast.fm in your browser. We are just, you know, a little bit of everything. We're on Patreon. We're on... Do we have any of the next-gen social medias yet? I personally have not set us up like a Hive or anything like that, so...
Not for Character Reveal, but we'll get those set up this week. I mean, I'm on Hive and co-host. You'll never guess what my screen
name
is.
Oh, man. So if you want to find Dom, he will be at Brother Dom on any of those platforms. If you want to find me, I am Captain Steph on Twitter, The Snow Queer on Tumblr, and Hella Steph on Instagram. If you want to remember what I just said later on, you can find all of this info as well on our Linktree, which is linktree.com/character reveal, or just link.tr/character reveal. You can, you know, if you listen to us in your podcast catcher, it'd be cool if you gave us a rating or a review, likes, whatever, what have you.
Stuff would be nifty. And hey, guess what? We have a sponsor. It's Grinding Coffee Company.
Hell yeah.
They are our sponsor. They make delicious coffee. And hey, time for the pitch. So Grinding Coffee Company, it's fair trade, black-owned, LGBTQ+-owned coffee company. They got coffee in all the formats you need. They got K-cups, they got beans, they got grounds. It's whatever it is that you need.
Yeah.
So you can make delicious, tasty coffee in the morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you like it. They make coffee for gamers and streamers and pretty much anybody who can hear this or see the description. You know, they don't discriminate.
Yeah, you're honestly, if you are a person who plays a lot of games on their phone, you're a gamer. You watch a lot of YouTube videos. You might as well.
Yeah. Honestly, we should do a discussion sometime about like what it means to be a gamer. Spoiler alert, if you play video games and choose to identify as a gamer, you are one. If you choose not to, then you're not. That's pretty much it.
Wild stuff.
I guess if you don't play video games or board games or any kind of games at all, I guess I'll gatekeep that and say you're not a gamer. More of like a fact, less than a judgment.
Right.
Like, but if you play a game, you are a gamer, so congratulations. Come have some Grinding Coffee Company.
Nerd.
welcome to the nerds. Are that, you can go to our link in the description or use offer code character reveal for 10% off your order. That's character reveal, all one word. You can either go to the link in our description or go to their website.
I have been drinking a blend from Grinding Coffee Company called The Gay Agenda this week, and it is delicious.
Ooh, what kind of flavor is that?
It's got some, I think, chocolate and berry notes in it.
Ooh, it's delicious.
Tasty.
That is good stuff for sure. Go check them out next couple days and see what they got. See their holiday
makes flavors.
Great gifts. Check them out. Great
coffee
gifts. Tis the season. Yeah. Grinding Coffee Company. Triple wins. So, yeah. That's our podcast. Listeners, thank you so much for joining us for another episode. Another high-octane...
chat fest.
Whatever they call it. Chat fest. Thanks for listening to us. And we'll be back probably again next week as the holidays are coming in. We say the holidays, let's be specific and not try to act like this is what everyone celebrates. As the Christmas season is upon us, another just winter delays. There may be some delays in the content, but we want to get this to you as often as possible. But comments and ratings will always be appreciated in the meantime. But
hell yeah.
Until that next time, see you later.
Bye.